You're listening to the IM&M Intelligent Buildings podcast with founder and CEO of the IM&M Suite, Paul Wells.
Hello, my name is Paul Wells, and this is the sixth in the series of podcasts looking at intelligent buildings. And I'm here today to talk to Philip Ross, CEO and founder of Unwork, Unwired, the WorkTech Academy, and Cordless Group, to discuss his views on intelligent buildings. Many thanks for agreeing to talk to us today. If possible, we'd like to get your view as an occupancy management expert on the following questions. Occupancy management can generate large volumes of data. What is your view on data collection and management?
Well, so it's a really interesting question. And I think if you think about where we are today, most buildings today are done containers. We have started off with the idea that an office building is a container for work, and that container doesn't tend to generate much data. It's pretty inert, and if there is anything generated, it's pretty much a kind of historic, what happened last month, and it's not very active. We're now in the era of smart buildings, and the definition between smart building and intelligent building is an interesting one. I think they're both kind of similar. They're probably slightly different. But overall, what that means is that the building itself has intelligence. It generates data. And the question we have now is, what do we do with that data? And how does that data drive both smarter decisions and also new experiences or better ways of working or better ways of management and so on? I think what really is interesting to me is that to get to the idea of different occupancy of buildings, you have to understand why an organization is thinking about different occupancy of buildings. And I think when you look at the average office building, you tend to find that most of the desks, cubes there in America, are empty at any one point in time. So you build a building for 10,000, 5,000, 2,000 people, and on average you walk in and 53% of those desks and offices are empty. But at the same time, people say, look, we can never find meeting rooms, we can never find project space, team space, and so on. We have also then been, you know, at a stage where technology is kind of chained down to a desk. We've gone through the era of the networked computer and many of the kind of progression towards a kind of thin client or a VDI type experience. But more and more people are now carrying their endpoints. You know, there's an intelligence as to what device they carry, where they connect and sit. And that connection can be cabled, but obviously more and more is wireless, and it's therefore kind of just unconscious. As well as the freedom to use devices, we're also moving towards the idea that almost everything in the building is networked. You know, all things will hang off networks. From the classic switches of today through to tomorrow, anything from a smart screen to a vending machine, and so on. In the future, with power over Ethernet, there's not much that can't be connected to the network for power, let alone connectivity. And the vision of things like lighting powered over Ethernet, and therefore the digital ceiling of the future, shows that we're heading towards an intelligent building, which is far more than just the IT network as a world. So we've got this idea that actually all of this network-connected equipment, all the endpoints, can generate data. And that data can therefore show people how companies are occupying and how people are behaving inside space. And I think once people understand that data and analyze it, you can really understand both what people are doing but what people should be doing in the future and begin to suggest changes to how people will occupy space. So we think the idea of the data-driven workplace is emerging, where facilities managers, network managers, but above them, you know, CIOs and CREs can get an insight as to how people are working, how buildings are performing, and therefore inform the idea of the future of the workplace, not based on guesswork, but based on accurate evidence.
Fantastic. I think that resonates with all of us on this. So, following on from that, what do you think is the biggest issues we have when trying to make a building intelligent?
Well, I think there's a number of areas here that we should touch on. To make a building intelligent, the systems and infrastructure that go into the building needs to be intelligent. They need to talk to each other. And I think what you often find today is a base build, you know, when a building's going up, the people, the procurement process does not generate intelligence. Everything is procured in silos, often by main contractors who don't typically empathize with technology. It's procured early, it's procured cheaply, and it's procured without the knowledge of tenant requirements. So what you tend to do is you get separate silos, and you know, in a new building you might get 30 different systems, none of which talk to each other. What you also have is the fact that most vendors tend to like to have closed systems because it obviously maintains margin. It's in their interest to have a closed system so that they kind of protect their IP and their ongoing revenue streams. So there's been a bit of a battleground there. You know, to get to the idea of intelligence, to me, you have to have a blueprint to begin with. You know, you have to step back and say, right, what's the outcome we want? And the world is heading towards open systems. So part of the procurement process now needs to be to specify the protocols and standards you need and ensure that things like an open API is available so that all of these systems can be interrogated. To my mind, there are different routes to achieve the goal. You know, one route is, of course, for certain systems to talk to each other within the building. But also you can see that there are new aggregators coming through. So platforms that can actually aggregate all the data, you know, give it intelligence and then direct those actions as a result of that intelligence. So there are different approaches, but by and large, what you need is for all the data to be pulled into a lake to give you the insights that you need. And I think those insights are multiple and various. I mean, they touch on the idea of sustainability. So, you know, when space isn't being used, it should be shut down or hibernated. And that's good for the, you know, society and the planet. It touches on the idea of a circular economy and the shared economy, so that actually, if we have intelligence to know what's happening in a building, we can share it better. And again, that's a positive. And I think for next generation talent, that would be part of what they want when they come to work. I think in terms of the cost of operations, reducing operational costs and OPEX overall can be achieved through smart buildings. You know, for example, why clean a room when no one's been in it all day? You know, simple things like that, you know, you can do. Or if there's been very high footfall for some reason, you know, you can actually manage things differently. You know, if you need to maintain equipment, you know, can you do that intelligently and remotely? Can you make sense of the fact of weather conditions might impact how you run the building and so on? So there are lots of ways of using intelligence to reduce or minimize costs. But I think then the real benefit is around productivity enhancement. You know, while there's an element of cost reduction, the real gain in any building is the white-collar workers that occupy those buildings, because the biggest cost to most employers are salary costs. So if we can leverage smart buildings to improve experience, you get a really interesting payback. And we think that as we are using apps in our homes and on the street, those apps know who we are and they know where we are, and they can personalize our experience, whether it's ordering food or transport. So we'll have the same expectation inside buildings. So buildings will need to know where people are. They'll need to know what devices they're using. They need to know what they want to connect to and provide a personalised experience. And then that will get even more interesting when systems begin to use algorithms, AI, deep learning to nudge and make suggestions. And therefore, the next evolution, we think, which we'll come on to, will be much more exciting. So I think the issue to get to a smart building is around the vision, the blueprint of base build, and the end requirements of the occupier during fit-out, so that you really understand what people are trying to achieve.
Thank you very much. That's really interesting. So following on from that, what do you think are the next stages in the evolution of intelligent buildings?
So Paul, I think in the last question we began to touch on where this will go. And I think the key is like a knife. You know, we're seeing more and more the power of artificial intelligence, the power of deep learning. And when you get data generated at volume by buildings and by the networks and the equipment in buildings, you know, it's the insights as to what you can do with that that is very, very important to organisations. So at its base level, you know, preventative maintenance, you know, support and keeping systems up and, you know, reducing downtime are critical components to how you'd evaluate the performance of a smart building. But I think it gets much more interesting because, of course, when you look at the insight that deep learning can provide, it can begin to look at the kind of nudges and the unplanned that people will see that will drive things like innovation in the future. So most organizations, for example, have innovation as one of their kind of core values. Innovation often comes out of the unplanned, you know, what they call the adjacent possible. The systems know where people are. You know, they know who's in, they know where you're sitting. And therefore, you can begin to engineer serendipity. You can begin to put the right people together to do different things. And that's where I think we're going to see the real value in the future when organizations attack that. It'll introduce a new breed of person within the IT and FM and real estate groups. You know, data scientists will come into those environments. It might even change the way you design and plan buildings. So, for example, there is one new headquarters being constructed in the Netherlands where they've got a massive pilot using smart building infrastructure. And, for example, one of the things they found with their sensors is that when people are in a meeting, and we're in a meeting room here, typically at 5 to the hour, people start waiting outside because they've booked the room. And if you've got 5 people waiting outside, what do? They start chatting. If that's right next to people trying to work or sit on a video conference, massive disruption. So this organization measured all the noise levels and found these incredible peaks in decibels outside meeting rooms at 5 to the hour. So they changed the entire workplace design. And now meeting rooms are clustered around pantries. So you wait in the pantry with a coffee in an environment that absorbs the sound and doesn't interrupt people at desks. So you can begin to use intelligent buildings for a range of insight, as well as, of course, the usual occupancy, utilization, and really kind of managing any kind of network device. What's next is really intriguing. I think one of the interesting areas, of course, will be voice. We've now looked at how we connect all sorts of endpoints and how we work with more traditional technology, you know, VC units, and so on. One of the next big paradigm shifts will be the use of voice. And the VUI, the voice user interface. And for those of us who've got Alexa at home, you can begin to see the power of ambient technology. So the fact that the space can listen, the space knows what's happening inside it, partly through voice, partly through other intelligence. And you can see the recent acquisition by Cisco of Voicea, and their new assistant called Eva, being really interesting when you get, you know, enterprise-grade network manufacturers bringing those technologies to the workplace. So we think that players like Cisco, but also some of the VC players, will begin to introduce new elements into the vision for smart buildings. For example, cameras that are sensors that can do everything from count people to know who's in a room or their expression and their sentiment and how engaged they are, right the way through to using the analytics that are generated by networks, whether it's MAC addresses, footfall from Wi-Fi APs, all the way through to core network analysis as to what people are doing and what they're using as a device. All that insight generates incredible intelligence as to how organizations are working. And that points to a very exciting future.
Fantastic. I think it's challenging, but I think it's exciting, as you say, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much. Many thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this podcast will also appreciate it as much as I did. I'm Paul Wells, and this is the 6th in the series of podcasts looking at intelligent buildings.
For more information about our intelligent building solutions, visit immsuite.com.